Good afternoon, everyone. Brethren, I'll just see if I could find my notes. Well, as yet I haven't found them, but I know they're here. Well, you know, it's just another glorious day in paradise. Yep. It must be nice to live in an area that's calm, temperature's just right. Just enough rain. Well, we don't have that in Oklahoma City. Well, I'll tell you, this is a blessed area. You know, there's a library book in Oklahoma City public libraries, and also in some surrounding libraries, I know in Moore at least, entitled "The King Who Would Marry a King." And it's in Oklahoma City, it's displayed in a real prominent place up on the area. So when you walk in to that particular area, you be sure and see it. And it's caused some controversy there, of course. And it's basically the story of a queen who's trying to find a princess for her king, which would be, I guess, her son who would be king. Or I guess is king. But the king doesn't want a princess. He wants to marry a king. Well, and the thing about this is it's a children's book, and it's right there. It's like for kindergarten age. Mostly just pictures and a little bit of easy reading at the bottom. And it's free speech, you know. Well, you know, where does this kind of ideas come from? I mean, who can dream that up? You may say, well, that's Satan dreamed that up. That's maybe partly true, maybe true. But is that the whole story? I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 6. So I guess the book remains in the library, but the only debate is, will we have to move it to the adult section? No, the book is staying, apparently, last I heard. It just may have to be moved because of some protest. But in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent or every thought or intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." God said he looked down and just everything man was thinking and planning, it just seemed to be evil. And in chapter 8 of Genesis, in verse 21, beginning in verse 20, "Then Noah built an altar to the Eternal and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Eternal smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Eternal said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground for man's sake,'" excuse me, "'although the imagination or the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done.'" God said that, you know, even from the youth, a child, man's intent is evil. It's right out of man's heart. And we know Jeremiah 17:9, which further says, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's the heart of man is wicked, and it's also deceitful. You know, if you talk to somebody in a service industry, maybe the motel clerk here who has to deal with the public, or anyone like that, you'll always hear people say, "People will drive you crazy. People will do this. People demand that." It's always people. No one ever says, "I am a mess. You know, I'm driving people crazy. Because it's always people, but we are people. And we basically got the same heart. You know, but also in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, it says, but God searches the heart. The heart's deceitful, and we're deceived by our own heart, but God searches the heart, and He's the one that has to reveal it. Brethren, the putting away of leaven pictures the searching of the heart and the cleaning of the heart. You know, we put the leaven out, we search, we clean, but it goes far more than that. We're to emphasize the cleaning and the searching of the heart as God reveals it. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, if you would. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. And we'll read through verse 23. Mark 7 verse 20. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a heart. You know, when people write a children's book like that, I mean, that is, when you really look at it, that's really foolish. I mean, nature itself would teach better than that. You don't have to have a PhD to figure that out. So God, though God has given man a certain amount of understanding that the baser things of men, they've got to be restrained. We have governments, we have laws, you know, laws against murder, stealing, in the past even adultery. And God's given us governments because if we didn't, man's nature running rampant would just, of course, destroy civilization, and that's not in God's will. And even, you know, we train our children not to just let their desires run rampant, because we know that'll destroy them. But you think, they have to be trained. Or it's just selfishness. And as God says, it's evil. But even though man understands this and sees the need for government, he doesn't really know his own heart. He just doesn't understand. It's always, well, people do this. People drive you crazy. No, a man really can't see. We can't see our own heart. In Job chapter 31, we see that Job, he probably was beginning and did understand this. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Which it seems to me he was saying he knew what he wanted to do, but he was heading it off. He made a covenant with his eyes. He already had decided, I'm not going to do that, even though I want to do that. But see, the heart was still wanting to do evil. The desire was still there. The heart was still not what it should have been. In James chapter 1, you know, we've all read this many times, but at this time of year, I think we should, it's a time to remind ourselves of what we really are. James chapter 1, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. I know Satan is a tempter and he eggs man on, but man is tempted by his own desires. And he's enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So man's heart has set us on a path of death. Our own heart, our own mind that's within us has set us on the wrong path. And a man's heart or his mind is just like always tugging on you to really do the wrong thing. Even though you've had training, you know that that's a disaster. It's there tugging to go in the wrong direction. But you know, God is the one that's really got to reveal that, to really reveal it deeply enough to change. And he's got to do the changing with our cooperation. In Psalms chapter 39, notice the psalmist says in verse 1, Psalms 39, verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I mean, he knew that he could be prone to sin. And it's like he had to put up a guard on his tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. And in verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? We do not really understand how frail and how easy we are to be brought into sin. And we don't even recognize sin many times in our own life. It's much easier to recognize it in another person than our own self. David probably wrote this. He was beginning to realize that, you know, I can't understand my own self. And my own heart and mind will lead me to destruction. And in chapter 139 of Psalms, I'd like to read that in Psalms 139, verse 23. Notice he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. That's what we should be thinking about, because we don't really know our own heart. You know, we're able to put leaven out pretty well. But, you know, we don't know our own heart. And we don't even realize the leaven in our heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He realized that on his own, he could search his heart and search and search, and he would just be a real, just pretty good fella. Probably an excellent fella, like myself. Don't need to talk to my wife afterwards. Remember, she's got that wicked heart. So, but he realized that his own heart was going to keep him deceived and corrupted. And of course, God's Spirit had to be working with him for him to even realize that. In Psalms 51, we've read this many times, and it still is, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. In verse 10, Psalms 51 in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He had come to the point that he realized that God would have to create the clean heart. You know, Job thought he had a clean heart, I believe. He was living a good life. But, you know, God had to reveal where the problem was. And I feel we are the same way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Of course, in verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. In other words, clean out, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Jesus said, God's word is truth. If we're not reading God's word or hearing God's word, we're not going to be able to strive for sincerity and truth, because God is sincere and God is truth. So God, again, has to be the one to be revealing to us and then actually cleaning and guiding us. In Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 8, Hebrews 8, verse 8, says, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Eternal. In verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, we've been forgiven and purged of our past sins. But now we're in a process of continuing to cleanse, and that God may write his laws in our heart, that we have a different heart instead of that deceitful and wicked heart. Once our heart is cleansed, then God's laws can be written in our heart. You know, but again, God must maintain our righteousness. But in order for God to do that, we have to maintain connection with God. And of course, his word is truth, and it's like a washing. It's a washing of the heart. And by staying in contact with God, God reveals what needs to be repented of at that time. We don't want the whole story at one time. You know, that's the reason we live all these years, I guess, is we need time, step at a time, to overcome certain things. And if we had it all dumped on us at one time, you know, it'd be, forget it. We wouldn't be able to handle that. You know, but we, as God reveals it, we can't be hardening our heart and continue to compromise with what's not right as God has revealed it. And just like we continue to work on the leaven, we're going to continue to find leaven all week. And we're going to continue to find problems in our own heart as the years go by. And so, you know, we're to beware of that leaven. Like we had the video of Mr. Bob Dick, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we have to beware of those things. Well, brethren, during these days, think about, where does sin come from? Jesus said it comes from our own heart, our own mind. But of course, we are to have a new heart and a new mind. You know, these days, picture just recognizing the heart that we have, just like continuing to find leaven all week. We'll go home and find leaven. We'll go home and find things we didn't know were leaven. And you find that in your life. You're doing things you didn't even realize were evil until God begins to show you. And we begin during this time to be thinking more about how we need God's help in cleaning you know, cleaning the in from the inside out rather than from the outside, as the Pharisees like to do. You know, we've been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now we can call on Him to give us the clean heart. If we use God's holy days and the time to think about these things and focus on them. You know, we're all subject to the dark forces of the world and, you know, to the downward pulls of our own heart and nature. But, of course, true righteousness comes from a heart that's been cleansed and changed by God. That's where true righteousness comes from, not our own. So I just ask you to use these days now to focus on that, on changing and cleansing our heart.